Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Think and Be Wise, where we challenge your everyday thinking to be a little bit wiser, because if knowledge is power, then wisdom is knowledge applied. And so we want to make better decisions as we go through this life. And today we're talking about God, sex, and spirituality. Our special guest today is Love Tashia Asante. We're blessed to have her with us today. She's an award-winning journalist, author of 7 books, internationally celebrated spiritual teacher. She's the founder of Master Breakthrough Coaching Program. Love, she works with executives, entrepreneurs, leaders, and everyday people, like Sly Stone used to say, to elevate the vision, the products, projects, and the brand. You can find out more about Love's work at officialtashiaasante.com. And welcome to the show, Love Tashia Asante. Are you there? Okay, well, let's see. We're going to turn on your microphone. How's that? Can I hear
blessings,
you now?
Blessings, everybody. Yes, it's good to be here. Awesome, awesome. Much love to you, Carl. It's so awesome always to share the airwaves and cyberspace with you. You're always doing positive and powerful things, and this is a hot topic, okay? We are not playing. We're breaking ground with this one.
Yeah, because it's the 21st century, and if we're going to live in the 21st century, then we ought to have a 21st century interpretation that brings the word of God and, you know, brings a modern understanding of sex and spirituality. And I know when I was growing up, man, it was just like, you know, if you're doing wrong, then, you know, God gonna get you. And if they see you out there doing things, and the devil got you. And, you know, it was just like, you know, I was raised in the church, man. I tell you, I was in a Catholic school, and I was an altar boy, and I lived in a Baptist home. So, you know, I had to be ecumenical from day one. And so I always looked at it from a broader perspective. My interpretation of God was never narrow or shallow. And so this gave me a platform to build relationships with people who not only were not of the same religion, the same nationality, or same complexion or tone, but it allowed for me to build relationships with people. In fact, that's how I met you, on a cruise, and we were both out there on this empowerment cruise and going forward. And so, yes, and that was a blessing thing today. But tell us about your interpretation of God and our topic today.
Yes, well, of course, as you know, I am a PK, a preacher's kid, so I grew up going to church, in the church. If you weren't getting ready to church, you were already at church, and I grew up, you know, in the Word and in the house, you know, of God and with the Lord and reading the Bible, and that was a positive. It was a lot of positive and good things about that. Yeah. And then as I started to travel my journey, I started to have revelations and do my own research and learn a lot about spirituality and God and godliness. And I was able to, you know, uncover some truth that I was not aware of when I was growing up. So it was a powerful and positive experience, you know, and I got a lot of good qualities and practices and beliefs and values from my upbringing in the church. But there was also some things that I had to heal and reconcile. Yes.
So every concept of or idea or thought of God is an interpretation of God, because, you know, in theology school, we learned that God was omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, meaning that God was everywhere, God was all-powerful, and God was all-knowing. So how did your interpretation of God come to where you are right now today, and what would you like to share?
Oh, man, well, we only have 30 minutes, so I'm going to give you the short version, Pastor. But,
yeah,
you know, what an evolutionary journey it was. You know, as I said, you know, I was blessed to have the upbringing that I did, and I learned so much from it, and I got so many great values. But there came a point where I started to search, and I found some truths that I had not been in touch with in my childhood experience, you know, in my walk with my spirituality and with God. And it took a lot of work for me to come to peace and reconcile the things that I had found out and what I had been raised up to believe. And
yeah.
So fortunately, I found a peaceful place, and you and I have had a lot of rich discussions about this. But, you know, fortunately, I was among those who found a place of peace and, you know, middle ground, because some people either go one way or the other, and they want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
But I found that, you know, in my spirituality, in my Christian upbringing, there were blessings there. There were good things there that shaped me to be, you know, an upstanding human being, you know, with decency and courteous and kindness and compassion toward people. So those are the things I got from my religion, my upbringing. However,
so now do you go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So
I know you got to
how do you see God today? Because traditionally God was presented as this, you know, this old guy in the sky who's making a list and checking it twice, and you know, what do you see when you say God?
I call it holy, divine, spiritual energy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I'm not really caught up in the names.
Yeah.
But, you know, in my healing process, you know, I did discover indigenous names and a name for God that I had not been made aware of when I was a kid. But in my place of peace, I don't care really if you call God Jesus or Allah or Ludamare, you know, or Krishna, long as you are doing, you know, positive work and you're about light and goodness and healing and compassion, I'm at peace with how you call God. And I believe it's important to honor, because everybody has a connection with the Most High that resonates for them. And that's important. So I think each person, each human being has to search for that. Yeah.
And it's a universal understanding of God. It's sort of like no matter where you go and what nationality or what culture or what country or what city you go to or, you know, what religion you're in, if you're a liar, a cheat, a thief, or a murderer, you're frowned upon. No way that you're welcomed into that society. And it's the same thing about love. When love comes in, And we have a concept of God that is one of the most familiar ways that God has been identified is through love. And that just happens to be your name. So how does love get actualized in a modern concept of God?
Yes. I chose that name because I found that some of the other names that I went by, people associated with to my walk. And I said, well, I'm going to choose a rebirth name this time where people have to greet me in love. When they leave my presence, they will leave with the energy of love. They will remember me as love. And, you know, that's scripture. It says God is love. And when we see that and we know that, that that's scripture, when we're looking at, is it 1 John or is it, I just looked at this scripture the other day, but it talks about, you know, not only God is love, I believe that's 1 John, but it talks about in the scripture that God shall have no respect of person. So if we believe that, then we believe that God exists in every living thing. And if God exists in every living thing, love exists in every living thing. Yes? And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, so that's why I chose that name, love, because to me it was representative of all that I believe God is, which is compassionate and forgiving and, you know, tolerant. And no, God don't take no mess. There were some times when, you know, God had to come strong and, you know, the Christ had to set some things straight, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, got, you know, to me, that energy is all about facilitating and cultivating the energy of love. And
yes.
And that leads to the second part of our discussion, because you segue hopefully from love into sex, you know.
Right, because you can't create humans without sex, whether it's physical or, you know, however they do it in the Petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be intercourse there. And so why is there such a taboo around sex in the church and stuff?
Oh, man, we're going to have a part two to this discussion, because you're opening up a can of worms. But, you know, I think that, of course, we know that there was influential energies over the writing of the holy text. We know that things like racism and slavery and, you know, patriarchy all influenced the rewriting and writing of the text, as well as leaving out certain books of the Bible. We know that, I mean, this is not a secret. This
right.
is not Tashia's research. This is, you know, scientific research, okay? So that's not a secret anymore, that the Bible was changed, that it was altered to fit, you know, people's needs. We know at one point the Bible said that black people were one-fifth of a human being. We know that. So now, as we look into even revolutionizing our walk with God more, how do we find a place of peace? Now, there's some people who have very strong views around sex, and I honor your view. You know, whoever is listening to this show right now, if you believe that sex is for procreation, if you believe that sex should only be between a man and a woman who are married, I respect your walk, and I hope that you stay true to that, if that is your belief. But how do we make space for the beliefs and observations and values and, you know, happiness of other people in our walk with God? And I think that's important. I think, you know, extremism is what we have to get up under and decipher, and, you know, because extremism has always been harmful to our society and to the people that live on the planet Earth. So I'll stop there, because I know you got you want to add
well,
to that.
You know, and one thing that with regard to sex and creation, you can't have people without having intercourse. And the way that I define sex, S-E-X, is sacred energy exchange. Because the two become one. And one plus one don't equal two. It actually equals three or more when you've got, you know, a mama and a daddy and a child. And like you said, same gender loving people have been influential in helping people to be human. And the Hebrew Bible, it even says when Moses asked God, said, "Who shall I say sent me?" He said, "I am that I am." And so I am that I am is only one. He says, "I am the Lord thy God, and I am one. I'm single. I'm whole. I'm complete as myself." But God has only given us this moment in time. And knowing that we have this moment in time, we ought to make the best of it. And just, we've got a caller on the line. Let's see if they want to join in or just listen.
Okay.
Yes. Greetings, caller. Are you there? Well, it looks like they're joined in to listen, and that'll be fine. But how we define love and God in the completeness of who we are as people and spirituality. So to kind of move it right to that point, where does spirituality come in with God, sex, and spirituality? Is there a difference there?
Yes. I think that definitely, I mean, for some people clearly who aren't of the school of thought that you have to have constructs like marriage or the intention of procreation to participate in and enjoy sex, they feel that as long as it's two consenting, you know, adults or individuals, that, you know, sex is permissible and, you know, should be taken advantage of, you know. So there is a whole school of people out there who walk in that. And like I said, I'm of the variety that
what works for the individual is, you know, it's not my business what somebody else is doing in their bedroom. It's
precisely.
Like, that's your business. And
precisely.
Right. And I cannot define your goodness, your worth, your value by an orgasm, which, you know, a good one only lasts about 2.5 minutes, a really good one.
Right.
So I can't define a human being and their worth or their value or their integrity by an act that only, you know, an experience that only lasts a few minutes. So
exactly.
I'm looking deeper. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we have to do, Pastor.
We must look beyond the superficial. We must look at it from a modern generation, because, as you said, the canon, when they chose which books are going to be in the Bible, they chose them. If you believe the God that they have presented in the Bible in so many ways, then you had to say that God ordained slavery, both in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. Okay,
yes.
that it was cool for God to go through that. If you look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, it states right in there, it says, if your children cuss you, kill them.
Mm.
It don't say spank them. It don't say whoop them. It don't say put them out or make them stand in the corner. It say kill them. No one takes that literally. So from my theological background, Marcus Borg was influential in my thinking, and he said, it's not that I take the Bible literally, but I take it seriously. I take it seriously because of the historical reference. I take it seriously because it's held as a sacred document. I take it seriously because of those who have carried the torch and helped us to gain insight to my inner self, and it completes us. One old guy, his name was Rudolf Otto, and his concept was the concept of the numinous. When he spoke about God, he spoke about God and said God was mysterium tremendum, and the last word was mysterium tremendum and fascinat, and which is Latin, was saying that God is a great mystery. There's a terrible mystery to God, and it's also fascinating. It's like, if you're going to deal with God and you make room for love, then you have to make room for the opposite. And so how is it that we get to a point of an understanding where you can see that you became okay with your spirituality and your knowledge of God?
Well, and you're asking me that question?
Yeah, what do you think about, you know, people who wrestle with their interpretation of God? If they think that, you know, if I do this and, you know, I go out and I blah, blah, blah with, you know, who I get with and we got our thing, and then I'm condemned in a certain place. But how do I reconcile my interpretation of God within me?
Yes, that's it. That's how we do it, is we listen to what resonates for our spirit. We honor and respect grown folks' decisions about what they will do with their body and with their life, right? Because I'm only responsible for the salvation and the integrity and good character of one human being, and that's me, and my children before they're 18 years old, you know, but even them are, to me, on loan by God. I don't own them. They're a gift from God.
Right.
So I'm responsible for how I move. And at the end of the day, do my actions and practices hurt people, or do they bless people? Do they bring me joy, or do they bring me hurt and pain? And that, to me, is how I reconcile my relationship with the Creator, with the Most High. As shared, you know, I'm in a place where I honor all of my teachings. So I was raised in the church. I recognize that upbringing. I also am an initiated Yoruba Ifa priestess. That was a big part of my empowerment journey. And I recognize walk. I also, you know, recognize Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism, You know, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. I recognize that as a positive, uplifting force. So I'm a light seeker. So wherever there is light, goodness, that's where I'm going. I can go to church and sing the gospel, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I can go to Brazil and be in the candomblé ceremony and have the exact same spiritual experience.
Yeah.
And I think becoming free and unashamed, because see, there's women and men and who are walking the planet who do feel sex is nasty, who are ashamed of their desires. There's women who have never had sexual pleasure, who have never even touched themselves because of the sick lies they were fed through religious extremism.
Right.
And I don't think that. So I think there's a place of balance with it that we can find, and we want to strive for non-extremism, number one.
Yes.
If we're at war with people over what we believe, then we're venturing to extremism. Because like I said, at the end of the day, I'm responsible for me, my behavior, my conduct. And I'm responsible to evaluate me, yes?
Yes, and absolutely. And we do have some other callers on the line. I'm going to give them an opportunity to speak. But one of the things that I do is when you talk about God, you can't miss me. Alhamdulillah. Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. Hari Hari Krishna Krishna. Jesus, glory to God. In the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, full of grace. However you conceptualize God, you cannot miss me. Because how can anyone put God or take God anywhere, or declare where God is not? They have to be God. And then I back it up with one scripture I love, Genesis 1 and 27, where it says, everybody created in the imago Dei, in the image of God. And then even Jesus said, God is a spirit, and those that worship God in spirit and in truth. Truth is reality. Spirit is spirit. So getting to know God, first of all, I need to be comfortable with knowing who I am.
Yes.
And then I can recognize God in myself. I can recognize God in others. And possibly I can get to the point where I find God knowable and getting closer to God. Let's check with one of our callers here. Are you having something to say here, caller? 7059. Okay, they're listening. We have another caller here, 7698. Are you there? Did you want something to say?
Well, I'm here, but I'm almost at a loss for words because I'm the kind of person you guys that you say argue about this and argue about that and disagree about this, that, and the other. Well, I guess I'm from the old school. My mother was a Buddhist. I respect every man's religion, but for me personally, Buddha can't help me. He's gonna die like I'm gonna have to die.
Let's we've got like 5 minutes there, and the thing is that what we want to do is kind of keep it right on the same target about what and how we're going, and we're not denying you your interpretation of God, but everyone has their own interpretation of God, and we thank you for listening. We're going to continue this conversation going on. But the thing is that at this point, my God, my daddy used to say that. Oh, my God, help me to know myself. And it's a knowing yourself. It's that one scripture. And it's not about a religion, but it's about a relationship. And we love you, but the thing is that we want to kind of cut it all off and head in because we're winding up the last 5 minutes. But thank you so much for your comments, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for your courage to speak your truth.
Yes.
And it is just that, honoring your truth for you. But how do we learn to honor and respect our sister and our brother's truth that works for them? That would be my question. Now, I hope we can have a part two, because I see this is a fired up conversation. But go on. There may be other callers who want.
Let's see if there's another caller there, because we've got another caller from 4112. Did you want to say a quick statement?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Good afternoon. This is Santamu. Hello, Tashia. Love. Thank you for giving me that information. I appreciate everything you're saying, and I like that you refer to Genesis. I was looking at Genesis, and I always wonder the idea of when it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And when I look at that, I think about the fact, like you just said, we all have our own definition of God, and especially if it refers to more than one concept of God. And, and the idea that God, to me, when I think about the old way of looking at how Africans were animalists, they gave praise to the animals, they gave praise to the trees. As Love said, God is in everything. So, yes, we should be giving praise to everything. I am, as a drummer, I as a musician, as a folk teller of African stories, and they talk about if you're going to make a drum, you give honor to the tree that you are going to shut down, because that is God. If you're going to kill a goat for its skin, you give honor to that goat, because that goat is God. And that's what I remember in my first dealing with Africanism and dealing with the animalistic way that they were portrayed as believing in all these other things. You know, they just believed that God was in everything. And I appreciate you saying that.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to say that.
Yes. And we've got about 3 minutes left. Tashia, why don't you go ahead and take about a minute and a half, and then we'll set up another one where we can dig in deeper. We'll even set it up for an hour or longer if we still want to get into this subject, because we barely scratched the surface. So if you have something to say about how is God knowable, what would you tell, and what was the real revelation in your life?
I want to say that definitely it is knowing God's love for me, God's unconditional love for me, that I released and surrendered a relationship with a God that I was afraid of, because you can never trust anything that you're afraid of, because you're going to always hold a part of yourself back if you don't trust God. So to be able to trust God, I had to first believe that God had my best interest at heart and loved me unconditionally. So being able to be at peace with that changed everything for me. And you spoke about this, Pastor. You said a relationship with God. And when we, and last thing I'll say, 10 seconds, is that spirituality. Spirituality is different from religion, because religion is about what's going to happen the day that you die. But spirituality is what you're doing in the here and now, and how you live your life, how you treat people. Are you happy? Are you at peace with yourself? You see, are you getting what you need for you? And there is no shame, because God created everything there is. And I know there's a caller. Somebody just texted me with the last digits of 5861 that wanted to chime in. I know we have 1 minute if you see that caller on there.
Yeah, I see him. 5861, go ahead.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask, how do you start over when you're thinking of how you think about sex in your life? Like, with a lot of ideas that maybe.
How do you start over when you think about sex? I didn't.
The way think about sex.
How do you start over in terms of redefining how you view sex and spirituality if you want a more healthy identity and way of approaching sex?
Oh my God, that's show number two right there. But basically, get in touch with what you want, what makes your body feel good, and be shameless about it and fearless about it. And you don't have to tell anybody, but it's like that's between you and your God, what makes your body hum and sing and feel happy and peace. And it could be anything. It could be being pansexual. It could be being celibate. It's all kinds of ways that that can be approached. But Pastor said it earlier, get in touch with what with who you are first. And then the relationship with God cultivates and emanates from that relationship that you have with yourself, and recognizing the divinity is in you and everyone else. Ashe.
Ashe. Thank you.
One of the things that helped me was I was at a service and the preacher was preaching, and it was a sermon that he probably should have preached to his family at home, but he preached that sermon. And as I was walking out, one of the mothers in the church, she looked at me and she saw the look on my face and she said, "Baby, you got to know God for yourself." He's talking about his relationship with his God. And so that's the key, even to my previous callers that, you know, some of them have called in, and the one lady that, you know, said that, you know, Buddha can't do anything for her. That's, I understand that. However, at this point, we were looking for answers and not necessarily what did not work. It's sort of like if we can look at the things that we have in similarity as opposed to the things that are different. Because that's why we've got so many Christian denominations. They've got over 200 different Christian denominations just because of simple things like that. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have modern gospel. We have traditional. We have contemporary. But if we just kind of get down to the basic human thing and knowing God for ourselves, knowing God, the image of God in me, and if I can touch that image of God in me, then I'll get to a point where I can see the image of God in you. And then that gives me the walking papers to honor what God has created. Because the Bible says, how can you say you love God, but you do not love those whom God has created? And God has created everyone. And so we need to know God in myself. Accept my faults, accept my wrongdoings, accept my failures, accept my shortcomings, my frustrations, and my fears, and then I won't hold this high regard over you of who you ought to be and what you ought to be doing, but I will correct and constrain and restrain myself by me knowing the image of God in me. And we've come to the end of our time. I love you all. Love of God. You continue to press forward. We're going to do more on this very topic, and hopefully the people that called in and some people are upset, please call back and please let us talk. Let us wrestle with great ideas. No one is held to be perfect. Only God is perfect. And God, in God's wisdom, only gives us the now, the present. That's the only time we can make decisions. Tomorrow is not promised. When tomorrow gets here, it's today. And so the only time that God gives us is right here, right now. Live your best life. Think and be wise. Continue to be loving and caring and sharing, showing concern despite religion, despite complexion, despite what we've learned along the way. But we have to have a 21st century interpretation of scriptures that allows us to live together. As Curtis Mayfield said, how do we know that we're just one of the many? Maybe the many of us are only one. And if we move and being in the spirit, we will all be one in the spirit. God bless you and keep you. This is Carl with a K on Think and Be Wise. God bless you until we talk again.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Blessing.
Blessing.
Peace.